this beautiful, bright, life-giving Lenten log here up front this morning, and Ellen and Kids Zone leaders have been leading the children each week actually through blowing out a candle. As we journeyed through Lent as adults, the children were journeying through Lent as well. But this morning, kids, all the lights, all the candles are back on. Light has burst forth. And we thank you for sharing this beautiful image of Easter, of resurrection hope with us. So children, you were given by Ellen something to come and add to this very beautiful image of Easter. So please come forward and you can add to this life. And we thank you for participating. And then you can go back to your seats. Thank you. We have thoughtful kids. Where they're placing this light is really important. I like that. Let's pray together. God, we recognize that Easter comes on a date in our calendar year. But Easter is not limited to this day. Your resurrection pervades all of our life. Each day, we live as a resurrected people. We follow you, Jesus, who conquered the grave, who defeated darkness, who pours in light and hope to each one of us. On this day, marked to celebrate Easter, may you encourage our hearts. May you refresh our souls. May you remind us and allow to deeply dwell within us the promise of your resurrection. That your story continues to be written, our story continues to be written, that you indeed are alive, that you are with us, that you are our hope, our peace, and presence in times of trouble. May this be so. Amen. This morning, Susanna has shared a poem of hope, of sprouts growing into new life. This morning, Ellen and the children have brought to us an image of hope, bright, alive. And I'm going to invite Evan to come forward and share with us a story of hope in his life, of hope that lay dormant for a little bit, but then grew. Evan, thank you for being brave, and thank you for saying yes to sharing with us, who will be really encouraged this morning. Take it nice and slow.
All right. My name is Evan, and I'm in grade 6. This is my first year in youth, and I've been waiting for a while to come to youth. My sister Elle is older than me, and she got to start youth in grade 5. Elle would come home and talk about youth and all the fun things she did. I thought going to youth group sounded like so much fun. I was excited to start going to youth when I got to grade 5. But when I got to grade 5, the age limit got bumped up to start in grade 6. That was disappointing. I've been waiting to join youth and was excited for the day to finally come. This reminds me of waiting that happens at Easter. After Jesus died, people had to wait for Jesus to come alive, but they didn't even know that he would come back to life. Luckily, I knew my waiting would end in grade 6. I would get to go to youth. Now that I'm in youth, I love it. It was worth the wait. I always look forward to Wednesday nights. I like how we always have fun games planned. I also like how I got to know people better in youth and how everyone gets along. We have time to study the Bible at youth. I really like learning about David because I like how even when things were hard, he always trusted God, even though sometimes he still made some very bad mistakes. I'm learning how to trust God in my life too. An example of this is on the first day of school. I'm always a little nervous, but I know that I can trust God. He is with me and he will take care of me. Before the first day of school, my mom and dad always prayed for me. One verse of the Bible that I really liked that helped me remember God is always with me and will take care of me is from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I know that I can trust God. God to always be with me, even on hard days.
Such a beautiful testimony. I'm holding back my tears, so now I have to. Evan, thank you. Evan has been a person of hope in my life for a long time. Thank you for sharing. Okay, kids, you are welcome to go to Kids Zone to enjoy a time with Ellen. I hear there might be some cookie decorating involved this morning. And Claire and Zoya will be in the nursery. So parents with little ones under the age of 2, you can head to the nursery for some care there. We're glad that you're here this morning. The last time we met was on Friday, and the last words spoken in the Reader's Theater that morning were, "So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard." Those were the last words, the tomb secured, a guard standing nearby. We were left with this story with a sense of the fear and the insecurity and the loss of hope that those followers of Jesus felt. There is this fear and insecurity and loss of hope which surrounds Jesus' death on the cross. And at the tomb, it really did look like all was lost, that violence and injustice and betrayal and death had won, that they had the final word. And the followers of Jesus, their world had been turned upside down. Nothing made sense. The hope that had grown in them while they were with Jesus, it was now gone. And the hope was now replaced with confusion and with despair. And we return this morning to that same tomb. But what we find is something completely different. It is not unexpected for us to arrive on Easter Sunday morning and to see the black removed and floral and brightness and candles all lit. We know this. We expect this. But this was not what was seen, what was given when the disciples came back to the empty tomb. They came back to what was very, very unexpected. So let's enter that story together. John 20, which Susanna read for us this morning, begins with these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And though Mary had been present at Jesus' crucifixion and at his burial, though she had seen with her own eyes that Jesus had died and was buried in this heavily guarded tomb, while it was still dark, she returned to the tomb. In the physical darkness and in her own emotional darkness, where her hope had collapsed, Mary finds her way to the tomb. And in her personal darkness, while living with unexpected and unwanted, when the one who had promised her so much is now gone, Mary, while it is still dark, offers an expression of devotion to Jesus. Her desire is to be close to him, to be close to where he last was in her grief. She wanted to prolong her connection to him. Mary goes quietly with her own personal grief to weep, to remember Jesus, her friend, the one who offered her peace and hope and a purpose for living. She goes with a very heavy heart while it was still dark. What she sees adds more to her list of unexpected. the stone, that heavy stone that had sealed the tomb, that had been placed there out of fear, had been removed. It wasn't over the tomb. And now Mary runs. She runs from the tomb. She runs in her grief and in her confusion back to her community, to the other disciples who were also grieving and living in fear. She runs fast, and the words spill out of her, and she says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. He is gone. Where is he?" And then there is more running to the tomb, running as fast as they could, bending and looking, staying in the doorway of the tomb, others bursting into the tomb. Peter goes straight into the tomb, wanting to see this with his own eyes. Through scripture, it seems that Peter doesn't even hesitate. At the entrance of the tomb, he runs straight in. And what he saw were strips of cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus in his burial, wrapped around Jesus' lifeless body. And this image, these cloth, confirmed to Peter that all hope was gone. John 20 says, "Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed." These were two of the disciples who were present with Jesus when he healed people, when he invited people to live lives of love, when he taught them about the heart of God and said to them, "I am the Messiah." And while experiencing Jesus and his teaching, they also saw and believed. In Matthew 16, Peter declared to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," to which Jesus offered an incredible blessing to Peter, saying, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Blessed are you, Peter, who saw and believed." But now, what Peter sees makes him believe that all is actually lost. He saw and he believed that Jesus was gone. And in that moment, his hope was shattered into pieces. And now these disciples, maybe still out of breath from racing to the tomb, surely out of breath because all hope has been taken from them, they change their pace and they walk, heads down, hearts in turmoil, minds spinning. Scripture tells us they walk back to where they were staying. Can you form a picture of their posture as they walked without hope? In your own life, has there been a time when you felt without hope? Do you know the slow, head down, loss of hope posture? 6 years ago, my husband Terry experienced an accident while working in his wood shop. And at that time, I experienced a deep grief and an experience of a lost hope that was very new to me. I have often reflected on when in that experience that hope felt lost to me. When did that hit me? What I believe now is that I didn't know how to pray in that situation. The accident had happened, Terry's fingers were gone, and I didn't know how to pray. There wasn't hope for the fingers to be restored, and I didn't think that this was miracle worthy. And so the accident brought a permanent change. And I clearly remember not knowing what to say to God. And it felt very, very empty. And what I mean is I couldn't say, "Oh God, in your power, bring Terry's fingers back, or, oh God, I know that you are here and things will be fine. They weren't, and they weren't going to be for that time. And in reflection, I am aware that the accident was not as severe as my heart and my mind and my faith defined it. Terry was alive, he was healed, he would heal, and we were together. And yet, to me, it was an experience of lost hope when I felt God's absence in a very real and very disorienting way. So I can relate to these disciples returning, heads down, hearts heavy, wondering how had their time with Jesus, how had their faith in Jesus led them to an empty tomb, to an empty place? And what did their faith and what did my faith say to me now? But I was also like Mary in the story, and I'm encouraged by her, and I encourage us to learn from her. Mary stayed at the tomb. She kept close to where Jesus had been. And I wonder, but I can't know, if Mary was holding on to a little bit of hope, dimmed hope. I call it in my own life, hope with shaky knees. I wondered in her dimmed hope and her shaky knees hoped, if she wondered if Jesus would indeed do what he said that he would do, that he would rise from the dead. Scripture tells us that she wept and that once again she looked at the empty tomb. She looked again. She was looking. And I see this as hope. She looked around to see if maybe something had changed. Maybe Jesus' promises were actually still alive. And again, on this day of defeated hope, more actions take place. We have running and bending and looking and seeking. And this time, Mary looks into the tomb again, but now it is not empty. Something has changed. Two angels are there. And this is a sign of hope. And they ask Mary, in her grief, in her loss of hope, they say to Mary, "Why are you crying? And who are you looking for?" And Mary pours out her heart and her fears to these angels of God. And she says, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him," which basically means in our day, "I don't know where he is. I don't know where they have put him, and I don't know where he is." Often in times when hope is lost, when our faith is challenged, when God seems absent, or when God seems to be working in a way that doesn't align with his promises as we understand them, we, like Mary, can wonder, "Where is God?" And we too can say, I don't know where he is. I don't know where he is. It is in this moment when Mary expresses her deepest grief that Jesus draws near to her. It takes her a minute to recognize him, for she has lived in the darkest of emotions of thinking he was gone. But now she hears him say her name, Mary. And immediately she knows that it is Jesus. Hope is restored. Hope comes in abundance. Hope is overflowing. And hope reorients Mary in her grief. The resurrection holds many important teachings for us. And one that stands out for me here and that I offer to us this morning is that nothing can stand in the way of God's deep desire to be with you, to be with me. In the Advent season, we celebrate Jesus, Emmanuel, God within us, the living, embodied presence of God. And then on the cross, we see him rejected and ridiculed and alone and without life. But the great hope received in the resurrection is that he is not, he will not abandon us. That in his resurrection, Jesus comes near. He comforts us. He restores us. He reorients us. He comes as light bursting forth into that which we are experiencing as darkness. And in the days following his resurrection, Jesus initiated private and personal interactions with his followers. We read this in Scripture, where Jesus gently created space for Mary, for Thomas, for Peter, and for the others. And he opened up these times of personal interactions, and he gave to them what they as individuals needed most to rebuild the hope in him that had been lost. He comes to them, he rebuilds hope in them, and they are reminded of all that they learned from him and experienced with him in the days of following him before resurrection. After her encounter with the resurrected Jesus, Scripture tells us that Mary went to the disciples with the news. It doesn't appear this time that she ran to them. And so I wonder if this was actually a slow walk, a walk where she savors all that she has experienced, a walk where she allows hope to fill her heart and her mind and her soul. And on this walk, she savors that Jesus isn't dead, that Jesus isn't gone, that Jesus has in fact fulfilled his promises, that he is near and that he is alive. This is the other side of the resurrection, in which we get to live. And here things are going to be different for the disciples and for us in many, many ways. Yet again, first, Jesus reestablishes his connection with Mary. Through his presence and through speaking to her, he provides her with new hope. When we feel without hope, we can invite Jesus to come and reestablish relationship with us, to provide us with hope again. Jesus knows that Mary and the other disciples are going to encounter further sorrows very soon. And again, he will no longer be with them in his physical form. But first, he wants them to know clearly, concisely, that he is alive. He is alive. And this is living hope. In 1 Peter 1, we read of this living hope. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has given us new birth into a living hope through this resurrection. And Romans 8 emphasizes it this way. So amazing. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me, lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Within us, we have living hope. The same hope that brought Jesus back to life lives in us. So, if we were a congregation that shouted out amen, this is where a loud amen would come. So, amen. We have the living hope within us. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Hans, amen. 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 The living hope is resurrection hope. It is hope that tells us that we are not alone in our suffering or in our trials. The living hope which is Jesus, comes to us in our suffering and speaks our name. Living hope is present reality. It is not only hope of life beyond death, it is also hope that plants itself in our hearts and in our minds today. And living hope we see so clearly is relational hope. Jesus comes near, assuring us that we are not abandoned, assuring us that he knows our name. This living hope is a source of strength during trials. Isaiah 40:31 describes it this way, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And this living hope is an anchor for our souls. It gives stability and security in faith. Described this way in Hebrews 6, we have this hope, this living hope, as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. This living hope is also a promise of eternal life and God's future blessing, as described in Titus 1, the hope of eternal life which God promised before the beginning of time. Hope for today, hope for all eternity. Hope, we see, is not wishful thinking. It is not only for longing for life after death. This living hope is confident. It is present in our daily living and our daily experiences, and it is also future assurance of what is to come. It is the here and now. It is the both and. The Greek term for hope means an eager, confident expectation. This hope is not only living, but it is lively, just like we saw in John 20, all the activity, running, bending, searching, crying. It is living. It is lively. It is energizing. It is an active hope. And this living, lively hope is present with us through the resurrected Jesus and is the hope that lives on. This living hope is Jesus resurrected. And so on this Easter Sunday, on this day of joining together as people of the resurrected Christ, I encourage us to welcome this resurrection, this living hope, into our daily lives. Each day, meditate on the resurrection story. As Susanna so beautifully wrote and read in her poem, watch for evidence of Jesus coming near to you. Pay attention to what once appeared empty, and now new life is returning to those places. Watch for the light breaking through the darkness. While it is still dark, look for glimmers of this living hope. And lean into, access this living hope. Be active as you lean into this living hope that is with you, that is within you, that is within us. And may you hear Jesus speak your name and say to you, as he said to his disciples, peace be with you. Stop doubting and believe. I am the resurrection and the life. I invite you to turn to a neighbor, two neighbors, three neighbors, and say, peace be with you. Let's do that together. Amanda, peace be with you. Katie, peace be with you. Hans and Jutta, peace be with you. Rich, peace be with you. This is not the end. We don't leave today with the words that the tomb has been sealed, but we leave knowing that the tomb is actually empty, that light has burst forth, and that hope lives in you and all around you. Amen. I'm going to invite us into a couple moments of quiet reflection where I hope this living hope will be energized and lively within you. I have three questions. You may choose one. I encourage just one, or you're going to be busy in your mind to reflect on one of these questions. You might wonder, where do you or where do I desire this living hope? Where in my present day experience do I desire this living hope? Or you might wonder with Jesus, where do you want to invite Jesus to speak your name? Where do you want to hear this relational hope spoken into your life? Or you might want to pause and consider, where in your present days can you see this living hope? How is this living hope your anchor for today? I'm going to leave us a couple minutes just to quietly reflect and invite this living hope. Where do you desire this living hope? Where do you want to invite Jesus to speak your name? Where in your present days can you imagine this living hope as your anchor? Let's go to a time of prayer. Amen. If you would like, this is a practice that I do. I would place my hand on my heart, invite this living hope to be energized and alive within me, afresh and anew. Let's seal that living hope and invite it to be alive. Amen. I invite the band to come forward. For a time of special refreshments and really a time of being people of the resurrected Christ, where we will share through stories and sharing of our lives these deep hosannas and hallelujahs, that this is not the end. If you would like prayer or the peace of Christ to be given, spoken over you, please come forward. I will be here for that time. And I leave you again with this beautiful, beautiful news that the Spirit of God, that this living hope who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. May you let it be alive. May you search for it and see it. And may you see and believe. Go in God's peace. Amen. Yeah, go for it. Thanks.